All right, we're going to call the meeting of the zoning board to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Mr. Swindle.
Here.
Mr. Rule.
Here.
Ms. O'Brien.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Bernie.
Here.
Chairman Martin.
Here. All right, we have a quorum. We have one matter on the agenda this evening. This is the application for a variance for 631 Edgewood Place. You all may recall that we have had a couple public hearings on this matter before. We made a recommendation to the Village Board of Trustees. The trustees considered this a recommendation at a meeting in early April. I listened to the tape of their discussion. It was, you know, 20 minutes or so long, so it was a very detailed discussion. And they recommended that the matter be remanded back to us to consider a different design, as I understand it, for this garage. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We'll treat this as if it was a new application, in the sense that we'll ask the applicant to make a presentation, and if anybody else in the audience is interested, they'll comment before we have our discussion. So everyone who's going to address the board tonight, if you would please stand and get sworn in by Mr. Raddatz.
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
Yes.
So what I've asked Mr. Raddatz to do, just to make it clear to me, is if he could give us a little summary of what the difference is between the plan that we discussed, I think it was in March, and the current plan. That way we would, I would have, and you might have some idea of what the, you know, what the difference in the request for the variation is, and then we'll let Mrs. Houston make her presentation.
The previous plan that was previously considered, as you remember, it's a rather unusual lot which doesn't have, it's not oriented on the axes that are normal. It's off on diagonals. There is a southwest property line and a northeast property line. The previous design, the westerly corner of the proposed garage would be at a distance of 3 feet from the property line. With the overhang, the roof overhang would be only 1'8" off of the property line. There were three variations previously requested for side yard setback, combined side yard setback, and for the setback to the roof overhang. The roof overhang needed to be to comply with the zoning ordinance, would need to be 3 feet off of the property line, and there would a variation would be required. The side yard setback to the building is required to be 10% of the lot width. Given that the cumulative front yard line is about 96 feet, it would have to be 9.5 feet off. It was previously requested for a variation of 3 feet off the property line. The combined side yard setback is required to be 25% of the lot width, which is a number up in the 20s. The previous request was for 17 feet instead of the higher number. The revised plan that was submitted moves the garage further away from the southwesterly property line so that the westerly corner of the garage is a full 5 feet off the property line. This reduces by 2 feet the setback that, or the variation that was requested for a side yard setback and for the combined side yard setback. Both variations are smaller. In addition, the roof overhang is now compliant, being at least 3 feet off of the property line. So it is reduced from a request for three variations to a request for two variations.
Okay. So hopefully, we've got some numbers in mind now. Mrs. Houston, if you'd like to address us, and if you don't agree with what Mr. Raddatz said, just let us know.
No, I agree with him. I don't have very much to add. I've discussed, you're well aware of the limitations with the rear third of the property. It's not possible to put a garage anywhere in the rear third because of the power line. ComEd is not willing to move it. We're not able to put it to the north of the property line because of the close proximity of the property line to the existing house structure and also the difficulty with tying it in. We're not able to do an attached garage to the south side, closer to the neighbor, to Horan's here, because it would eliminate all of the fenestrations, I guess they call them, the doors and windows on the south side on the first and second floor. So we'd have no southerly windows. And so this is really the only remaining viable location. To push it further back into the property line, we then run into different setbacks because of that angled property line in the back that I believe maybe goes, it's not north and south actually, it's still at an angle. And then we have the additional problem, and I have an expert here, a drainage engineer, who will talk about further issues with pushing it further back, because that puts it in a depression in the yard. One of the things that the village board kind of highlighted was that this alternative drawing, the building would be 5 feet from the property line, the roof would be 3 feet from the property line, and if we were not in such an unusual lot, if we were in a regular rectangle, that would not require variation at all. So their opinion, as I understood it, was that seemed like a reasonable compromise. So I don't know if you have any other questions. I just got a quick glance at the documents that Horan submitted, I guess this morning, or that's when they first saw them. They're not online, so I can't, I would like to be able to address those. I think there are some issues. One of the drawings, at least, wouldn't be allowed because it violates ComEd's distance requirements. And the other, I think, violates setback that actually Mr. Raddatz would have to address. I find it, because it's not a rectangle lot, I had a lot of difficulty with that, and I needed his assistance for calculating all those limits. So.
All right, any questions for Mrs. Houston at this point? Okay, you want to have someone else speak on your behalf, that's fine.
I am not aware of all your zoning issues, so I can't.
Would you do us a favor and just identify yourself?
Sorry. My name is Robert Schlaff. I'm an engineer. My expertise is I point water downhill. And on this particular site, from the discussion I've heard, is that pushing the structure back, and that's the lowest part of the property, it just doesn't make any sense. It's not an extreme thing. It's not the Grand Canyon back there, but the approach that anyone building in town is not to fill in something that's going to cause distress to somebody else, and that's why you got the current regulations that are going on. I've been doing this a long time. I could make it work someplace else, but it just isn't the logical position for it. And the one that they got to on the present plan is the one that, if I'd had a chance early in the planning, I may have suggested. But like I say, I could. I've done this enough that I could make it work, but you don't want a project where something is just made to work. I don't like the projects I've been involved in to look like I've designed them. I hope when we're done with any of the projects, houses or whatever, that it looks nice, it blends. And I know there were historical issues, and I looked at the renderings, and I'm the engineer, not the architect, but everything else seems to fall into place, and it's something that I think would be appropriate for the site, for the neighborhood. If there are any specific questions that are raised, certainly the issues that you see or have heard about or see on there, I'll be happy to respond to those. But I like the selection that was made here as opposed to just about any other place that it could go on the site. Yes, sir.
So I have a question for you regarding aesthetics aside. We have a low area ponding at the back here.
Yes, sir.
What would be required to move sufficient water? Because this is a low spot relative to the other properties as well. It's lower than the adjacent property on this side by a good foot or so. So if you have this ponding issue, because everything is coming into this area, what would be required in order to be able to move that volume of water off that property someplace else? Where, if you had to, where
I mean, if the garage were to be located in a different part?
Let's say for the sake of argument, although there are other things arguing against placing it there, let's say for the sake of argument that the garage had to be placed back here.
Move back.
And then you have the situation with ponding back here. What sorts of things would have to be done in order to achieve proper drainage from the back of the property to some other discharge point, and where would that discharge point plausibly be, given that the adjacent properties are all at higher elevations?
Well, the way to go on the site to lower the ponding elevation would be to take it out toward the street, and certainly, you know, cut a hole in the dike, as it were. And there's some opportunity for that. It's complicated by the fact that there's some trees that want to be saved. That's an issue. But if you're going to be building in this puddle area, I'll be as kind as I can, let's call it a puddle. If you fill in, you have to dig out something else in that same area. I'm sure Mr. Raddatz or the village engineer can say, what have I done? Okay, I have just balanced the dirt someplace. So to balance it on a site that's as flat as this, I would have to make it even flatter than it is, perhaps dig it a little bit lower. But going lower, I don't want it to pond any deeper, but that could be done. But it would, and that's why I say it would start to look sterile, like I've made a box instead of having the what I call the soft lines of natural contours.
But what I'm asking is a little bit more specific about where would there be a logical discharge point. Because that water is coming in, whether you raise the elevation at the back or not, the water is coming into this area. And so you're saying that it would have to be discharged to the street, in the direction of the street, from the plan. You can't run it to the neighbors in any direction because that's not permitted.
No, so I had the benefit of having the client furnish the topography that was done by a surveyor. I looked at that. I looked at the site. And when you say the logical place, the lowest parts are to the right and to the left of the house. In other words, if you stood in the street, looked at the house, so left or right side are the lowest points. This is where when it rains too much, too long, and this puddle fills up, where would it spill first, and then where would it spill second as the water gets up? And it'd be toward the front. It wouldn't be going to the rear. So it's the ground, the properties that I observed, visibly and by the topography, are all to the surrounding the property. So that's the logical place for the water to go, and then past the house somehow, and put a notch. There are two ways to get it past the house. One is if you could cut a notch in it, the depression, make it a broad, lower it some, and the other would be to take and pipe it. The closest place where it could be piped to in a pipe all the way is down the street, and I'm losing the direction here. Hang on a second. I guess that's to the southwest. There's a drain inlet in the street. Would be an extreme way to get to it, or else there's some piping that could be arranged on the site to get it through the notch. But I think it'd be a combination of lowering the hill a bit and a modest amount of excavation around that I could still make blend.
So, but ultimately, then the water would end up in the storm sewer system or on the street.
Yes.
Where it would have to.
Yes, we'd go out to the street and then go to where it's lowest, and I assume that drain, I don't know, 150 feet or so to the southwest would be the logical place. The street is probably sloped that far.
Okay, thank you.
So all your analysis has to do with the difficulties with moving the garage further back. You know, and again, we're all mixed up on directions.
Yeah.
Moving farther back toward the back of the lot from where it's shown on her exhibit D1.
Yes, the issues that I would see if you were to move the garage location to the rear is that there'd be more of the pond or the puddle that would have to be restored, because you have the garage. You're not going to build a garage low enough to be in the water.
So if you build the garage where it's shown on exhibit D1, that's not going to impact in any way the current flooding of the property behind it. Is that correct?
Sir, I'd have to see specifically that what you're referencing. I don't know that I have it or not. Is that... Yeah.
If this is exhibit...
That's D1.
Here.
This one.
It looks to me like D1 is what Mrs. Houston submitted, showing
right.
Where she wants the variation to build the garage currently.
D1.
And then there's this hatched area behind D1, which I think is what you're talking about if you built a garage in the flooding area.
Well, if you could point on there to what you call a hatched area, sir.
Let me.
Oh,
that's different. Okay.
Yes. This is what's been requested by the current variation. This hatched area, as her architect had shown, as a rear yard area.
No, that's not right.
Oh, okay.
That's right. It's good to know what I'm commenting on.
This is Mrs. Houston's D1.
Oh, okay.
And it shows here, I believe, where she is proposing to build the garage.
That's correct. That's what I...
And behind it, this is what
Actually,
I call...
No, this is the one that he submitted.
I gave him Mrs. Houston's.
Okay. But the one that he submitted is in the flooded area. Is that the ponding area?
It's further into the ponding area.
Okay.
This
but
proposal
up here.
She's not
asking to build in the ponding area.
No.
And we haven't recommended that she build in the ponding area.
Certainly I didn't.
Okay. That's all I wanted to make sure.
Sure, sir.
So this is what he's...
So I've got no other questions for you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Schlaff?
I do. In terms of any structure that's put up here, does that loses some of the natural permeability of the area. So the garage, wherever it's placed, is kind of like non-absorbent into the ground, as well as a driveway. So, and typically driveways would pitch toward the street, I would think. There's usually a pitch because you want to get the water away from the garage. So no matter where the garage is placed, it becomes kind of a runway or raceway for water to go toward the street, I would think.
Yes, sir.
Does that relieve in any way the ponding that occurs in the back here? Meaning, as this garage is further back, does this become an opportunity to afford better drainage toward the street, since this has to be constructed at certain levels? Certainly, if you were going to put some type of drain in to relieve ponding, this would be an opportune time to do that. Also, where you said going into the drainage system.
You raised a couple of issues that are related, but not exactly the same. Construction of a driveway, a garage, a house, structure, shed, whatever, will reduce the imperviousness of the soil.
Right.
Okay, that's one issue. So the further back you go, the longer the driveway, the more impervious you have, the higher the runoff.
Right.
Okay.
So where does the runoff go? Is this the second part of that?
Depending on the topography, in this case, anything I would propose, or any engineer I'm sure would propose, that as much as he can, he would direct all that water, as you directed, to a driveway or some way to direct it out to the street.
Correct.
Just as much as he could.
That was my point. So building garage further back, does it help to reduce the ponding?
It would reduce the ponding if you fill it in, yeah. And that's what the structure would do. If you push it back, it's going to fill in part of the ponding. And in general, the village engineers made it clear that the existing ponds that are within the village limits, it's inappropriate to fill those without accounting for the water going someplace that's, quotes, reasonable. And
right.
By what would be unreasonable would be to push it onto a neighbor. So if I were to propose a plan here that filled in the puddle and cause that water to back up somehow onto the neighboring properties, that would be wrong. It would not be permitted. But at the other end, it's beneficial overall for the watershed to maintain the ponds. This pond is not going to have much of an effect, if any, on the Des Plaines River, or any river. But locally, it makes a bit of difference, and so the regulation to maintain the pond as much as you can is one that I have to follow as an engineer for any of the projects within the village, and in general throughout any of the places I do work. I don't know if that answers your question or not, sir.
Well, my question was that if you put the structure in a driveway and the water that falls from the structure, if you have gutters on the structure that put the water onto the driveway and the driveway brings it to the street, doesn't that in effect help to reduce the ponding? Where does the water for the pond come from?
Off-site that are at higher elevations.
Adjacent properties.
Yeah, just about everything to the left, the rear, and the right goes into this general area, goes into the puddle. I'm sure in a big storm, what would happen is that if you were to sit there and observe it, you'd see the puddle get
bigger. So from the neighbors, it runs down into this area?
Yes, sir.
Physically? Or does it just seep in through there?
No, it's. I'm not. I do not have enough information to know that it would seep in from any place. But it would be unusual to have it seeping in. But it's clearly the surrounding ground is higher. It's not a mountain, but it's certainly higher, and it just heads downhill and it goes through this parcel. Light rains would just start to fill it up, and some of it would sink into the ground if the ground wasn't saturated already. And that pond would get higher and higher until it spills out and then goes out toward the street. That's the lowest place.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you. So before we open this up for public hearing, for testimony from the public, I think there's a basic misunderstanding here. That when we when I talked about this project last time, I wasn't contemplating pushing the garage any further back in the property. I mean, wherever that idea came from, I don't know. I think what we were talking about, what I was talking about, was moving the garage closer to the existing house structure. And by moving it closer to the existing house structure, it might require that one of the trees in the front yard be cut down. But there was never any intention on my part to suggest that this garage structure be pushed farther back into the backyard or to the ponding area. So where that idea came from, I don't know, but that's not what I was discussing last time we were here. So with that, you know, if Mr. Raddatz wants to call on any, Mr. Horan, I think, is the only person in the audience who wants to speak to us, if you would like to come up and
Mr. Horan?
Do that.
Good evening, everyone, and I'll address that matter first, but first I just wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate everybody's effort to understand the situation. I'm continuously impressed by both this board and the Greater Village Board's dedication to getting to the bottom of this. In terms of the remark that I made in my written statement about the tree, I don't know if it was Commissioner Burney or Commissioner Lucchese who had said that, and that's what I had recalled, and maybe that's a misunderstanding on my part.
No, we talked about a tree, but the tree that I was talking about was one of these two that's on the Edgewood front.
And I think maybe that was my misunderstanding that we were talking. There's several trees on the lot, and I think my understanding was that was the comment. And so in terms of, you know, me taking the measurements and submitting that revised drawing with the post-it to scale, that's where that came from. So it wasn't in an effort to mislead anybody. It was really just, that's really what I had thought, because I think the quote was, if we move this tree, do we have this problem?
I'm sure that's what the quote was.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And just as a initial matter as well, I really applaud Ms. Houston's efforts to submit revised drawings to the board. I know that it's an insanely difficult lot. We both have very irregularly shaped lots. It's not the greatest for drainage, for rainfall, for everything. So I do appreciate that, and my presence here over and over is not to be acrimonious or be a thorn in her side. The drawing that I had submitted with, you know, pushing the structure back further, I had said it, I think, the last time I addressed the board, and I said it at the Village Board, was that with every foot that it moves back into the rear third, which is where that shaded area is, the buildable rear third of the lot, the less of a variance is required, and for lack of better terms, the less of a pain in the butt I am. I know that there's an issue with the power lines. I would note that when Ms. Houston built the garage that's on my lot now, as she was the former owner, I don't know if the power lines were an issue then. I don't know if it's selectively enforced by ComEd or not, but that main line runs through my lot as well, and my garage is within 36 inches of those lines. So I don't know, and I can't speak to where or when those things are enforced. My question, I guess, to Ms. Houston, to address the drainage issue, I think echoing Mr. Burney's comments, was, wouldn't or shouldn't the backyard get regraded anyway if the garage were placed further in the rear two-thirds? I would think, as a matter of course, that you wouldn't put the garage into a depression. You would want to have some sort of regrading done, because having a garage in the front third or on the other side of the house doesn't solve a persistent drainage and pooling issue that Ms. Houston currently has. So that is something that would have to be addressed anyway. And I think that would be, with the garage where it is now, that pooling would still occur. If the garage were pushed back, there would be a solution, as I didn't catch the drainage expert's last name. I'm sorry, I don't want to
call me
Bob. I will defer to Bob's expertise in terms of that, but I know that grading is an issue that Ms. Houston had wanted to have done anyway. So again, I want Ms. Houston to have a garage. I want it further in the rear third. And I had thought that's what the board had countenanced last meeting when we were talking about moving the tree. So my objections to the current location of it still stand. I'm not going to belabor the point. I appreciate you guys hearing me out.
Any questions for Mr. Horan? Thank you.
Thanks.
And Mrs. Houston, anything else that you want to say to us? Yes.
In terms of the garage that I built at 623 Edgewood, I had to apply for variances. I don't know if the ComEd rules changed, but it was never raised as an issue. So I don't know why it was never an issue. In terms of the pushing it back and the ponding, I actually, one of the first things I spoke to Mr. Raddatz about and also consulted with Bob about was regrading. And it's not a possibility because we would displace so much of that ponded water that we cannot do that extensive of regrading. His property is almost 2 feet higher, some places 3 feet higher than ours, so it would require a huge amount of soil, and we can't displace that much. In terms of permeability, it is true the driveway we originally wanted to do a permeable driveway, but with what I've spent on drawings, I probably can't do that anymore. It'll probably be concrete now, but we will be restoring some of the previously paved impermeable part of the yard, so I think it would be pretty close to a wash, you know, so we won't actually be increasing. And then in terms of pushing it back, because we cannot raise the grade of the yard significantly, what I've done instead is had is not what he's here to testify about today, but a drainage plan, which would be, and correct me if I use the wrong term, sort of like this underground permeable pipe that would have to go to some kind of bubbler in the front. We don't have enough yard in front to absorb all that water, so some of it would have to be diverted to the street, and that would help reduce some of the ponding that we have in the back. But if we were to push the garage further back, one of the builders I had said we would have more than probably 2.5 or 3 feet of exposed concrete to the base of the garage floor because it is so much lower and to have the required pitch on the driveway. So it would look bad. I mean, I guess we could, so I don't know if that answers those questions, but.
Would you remind me again, from one of the earlier hearings, didn't you talk about wanting to expand the existing patio?
I don't know where that patio thing came from. We have an existing porch.
Right.
The concrete below it is broken up. What we were going to do is, while we were doing the garage foundation, just repair it. But there was never a plan for what we wanted to do is repair the existing one. And it's adjacent to the garage, so we would be replacing it at the same time. But that wasn't really part of a plan. There's no, I don't know where the patio thing came from. It wasn't, I mean, it used to say on the, or it said on the drawing existing patio, or, you know, it was just the measurement of the patio, but that's just because it's there. So.
Okay, well then, thank you.
So one last question. Are any trees coming down with this second design that you made? And there was reference to where the driveway was going to be located?
It's not probably going to change the driveway significantly, but I will probably take the oak down at some point. I don't know if I'll do it.
Which is the oak? I don't remember.
The oak is the closest to 623. It would be the one adjacent to the proposed driveway.
At the front of the house?
Yes.
Okay. The smaller one?
Yes.
Okay. So as I recall, and I'm echoing what Chairman Martin was saying before, at the end of our discussion, we had come to the, or I think the statement had been made, has it been considered, because we were talking about can't turn out of the driveway because it's going to be too much like this, and then Chairman Martin proposed, well, what about just take that tree down? Then you can have a straight shot, and you can move that structure over as far as necessary to achieve 9.58 feet.
The problem with that is, and Mr. Raddatz, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the issue then is as we get closer and closer to the house, that it becomes a building concern for ventilation and light, and then also the firewall issue. And again, those are our, that's our, really our southerly exposure right. on the house.
So right now so. You've got a setback to the corner of the building of 5 feet, and you have a distance between the existing porch and the other side of the garage proposed location of 6 feet 4 inches. And what's required to not require variance is 9.58 feet, so 9'7". So you'd have to increase or shift the building another 4 feet 7 inches towards the house in order to avoid any of variances. That's I'm just sort of stating what would be required.
Right.
So in order for there to be no variances, this building would need to be 4'7". Closer to the house, out of 6'4¼ available.
So the roof lines would touch each other.
It makes it, like, the leftover distance is extremely short. So you either need
right.
to make it structurally part of the house, I think,
right.
or leave sufficient room that there's circulation front to back.
Right.
I'm just sort of saying that the logistics of moving it further to achieve compliance put it into a position where it's not really going to work. So, That's just an observation about this, but moving it over even another foot or another 2 feet, you're still not in compliance, and it would make the driveway really essential that that tree has to go. So this is a distance that gets you to the 5 feet nominal setback distance and the 3 foot eave distance, but not the 9'5", 5'8" combined, like
right.
each side setback. Okay.
All right, anybody else in the audience want to address this? All right, so we're going to close the public portion of the hearing and discuss among ourselves and then make a recommendation to the village board again.
I have a question, Cliff. What can the minimum or reasonable distance between a garage and the porch? She got 6'4¼".
The building code for no requirements, no extraordinary requirements. The building code requires a distance between a garage and the building of 15 feet. When it's under 15 feet but more than 10, we require that a heat detector be installed in the garage. When it's under 10 but still at least 5 feet away, like this is, we would require the garage to be lined with gypsum board.
The whole garage.
Okay. The idea here is that we're buying time. The heat detector in the garage will inform you that you've got a problem in the garage. Car is on fire or whatever. We seem to have garage fires. I don't know why. Adding a layer of gypsum board around the inside of the garage buys you 20 minutes for the fire department to show up and put it out. Closer than 5 feet, we require the outside of the garage to be non-combustible.
So is that measured to the house structure?
It's the distance face to face of the house to the face of the garage.
So, but this what's called the existing porch. My idea, what is the porch? Is the porch enclosed or is it just like a concrete slab or a stone slab?
Slab with a screen porch.
Okay.
And my.
So does that
we would consider that
as
part of the enclosed structure.
Okay.
For zoning for building the same.
Okay.
So it can go to 5 feet?
You could push it to 5 feet and without an increase in the without an increase in the requirements for the building code at this point.
So maybe 1 foot 4 inches.
So Cliff, is this what this the way this garage is proposed, is that structure properly for this distance that
well, we haven't seen. I mean, we're just dealing with this as at a zoning level now. They haven't submitted construction plans with all the details, but if it's approved in this location, there will be certain requirements that would have to be answered at part of the building code review.
And could the proposed location of the garage, as Ms. O'Brien asked, that could be moved closer to the existing porch without increasing the building code requirements?
Right, yeah. You could reduce that from 6 foot something to 5 foot.
Is that to face of the wall or is that to eave?
Face of the wall.
Because then your eave is going to be 3 feet beyond that, which means the eave is 2 feet from the structure.
You've got to pick places to measure to. Right. We pick face of wall. Yeah. And really, like I say, the problem is that we have, stuff burns inside of garages. It's a matter of you want to protect it from spreading to the house.
Right.
You have a problem, you don't want a bigger problem.
So in effect, by moving it, even if we do put like the extra building code requirement, et cetera, the rafters can burn, the eave runs out.
Yeah,
it's
closer.
I mean, every foot you move closer, you're increasing the risk of the fire transmission.
Sure.
So it's kind of like a trade-off, setback versus fire safety.
Okay, Mr. Dombrowski, you have anything you want to add?
Nothing.
Okay. Anybody else? Somebody want to make a motion?
I move to approve the revised plan as presented with the setback as shown.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we recommend to the Board of Trustees that the current variation be granted. That's D1, is that right? That's the drawing.
Yeah, original D1, not the modified ones.
Okay, any discussion? Are you ready to vote? Everybody ready to vote? You want to call the roll, Mr. Adits?
Mr. Swindoll?
No.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
No.
Mr. Lucchese?
No.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Burney?
No.
The Chairman Martin?
No. I find that at least standards 1 and 8 have not been met. All right, so the recommendation of the Zoning Board to the Village Board, do we have a recommendation?
I guess the question is, do we have to vote on the negative recommendation now, considering?
Isn't that what
we ran into
last time?
Yeah. Last time.
All right, so I'll make a motion so the motion to approve the variation fails. So I'll move that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that the requested variation not be granted. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right.
Hold it. Let me get something to take the vote on here.
All right. Any discussion on this motion? All right. So you want to call the roll?
On the motion not to approve, motion by Chairman Martin, second by Ms. O'Brien. Mr. Swindoll?
Yes.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
No.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
No.
Mr. Burney?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so the recommendation from the, sorry we had to vote twice, but our village attorney says that we have to have a positive motion to present to the board, and that motion is that the request for variation not be approved. All right, anything else on the agenda, Mr. Raddatz?
Public comments?
Any public comments? Okay, we have a motion to dismiss.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming.